Welcome to the Elijah Force podcast, an Elijah Streams production. Our focus is to bring a new dimension of spiritual gifting through prayer and intercession, the seer gifting, discerning of spirits, and more. And now here's your host, Julie Smith.
Welcome, everyone. My name is Julie Smith, and I'm the host of Elijah Force. Happy New Year. We're here. And we wanted to thank all of our viewers for all of your support and feedback over the years. It's been incredible. It's going to be an incredible year. And we wanted to close off the year with a special broadcast for you today. We put together some of your favorite clips from our shows, and we're calling it Elijah Force Best of Volume 5. We're featuring some of your favorites, such as Andrew Whalen, Barbie Breathitt, Dr. Paul Cox, Jasmine Brady, and more. Plus, we're including one of Jasmine's newest songs she wrote, Make Us One. But before we start, I wanted to share a couple of quick words the Lord gave me for 2026. So I've shared this before, but He just put it on my heart to share it again. I saw in gold the words 2026 and restoration. And it was solid gold. It wasn't just a little gold. It was solid gold. And it's going to be an incredible year of restoration in our lives like we've never seen before. And you may think, oh, restoration, that's a nice little word. No, it's a big word. He is restoring so many things in our life from the foundation of our family line. And I saw that, like birthrights, inheritances, things that were stolen from our family line, even decades or centuries ago, are going to be restored to us. That's the type of restoration coming. It's like the restoration of all restorations that He's doing in our lives. And I just wanted to encourage some of you, because I know that you're carrying, you know, God-given dreams for a nation. You actually have a nation inside of you that you're birthing, and God is going to bring it to pass. And so you've been holding that dream. You've been holding that nation as a baby in your womb, and it's time to birth it. And I just saw some people birthing new nations, the nations that the Lord has put on your heart and He's calling you to. And then this was a fun one. Recently, I woke up to hearing a song in the Spirit, and these were the words, everything's beginning new. Not everything's becoming new, everything's beginning new. And then my alarm went off, and it was 8 a.m., and 8 is the biblical number of new beginnings. I mean, what a word from God that you wake up hearing a song, everything's beginning new, and He wakes you up at 8 a.m. to solidify that word. And like I said, 8 is the biblical number for new beginnings. And I thought I would just read the scripture I love from Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. It says, do not remember the former things or ponder the things of the past. Listen carefully. I am about to do a new thing. Now it will spring forth. So receive that word as we go into 2026. And everything's beginning new. And I just pray that over our viewers. Everything's beginning new in your life in this new year. And there's no more looking back at the former things, but look ahead, look to the future, look to everything God has for all of us together. We're in this with you. We celebrate with you. We thank you for being part of the Elijah Force family. And we will continue bringing you incredible topics to share in this new year. And we're excited to keep growing with you. But before we show the video clips, here's a reminder of all you are helping us do for the beautiful people of Uganda. We love you and Happy New Year.
Every day, David, an 80-year-old man from Uganda, carries a heavy jerry can, his frail body straining with every step. Beside him, his 5-year-old grandson struggles with his own. Their destination? A muddy, contaminated spring, their only water source. They know it's unsafe. They know it brings sickness, but they have no choice. This is the reality for countless families in Uganda, but it doesn't have to be. Jesus was moved with compassion when He saw those in need. He healed. He provided. Let us do the same. Together, we can bring clean, life-saving water to those who need it most. Will you join us? Donate online at ElijahStreams.com/donate. Or mail a check today to Elijah Streams, 525 2nd Avenue Southwest, Suite 629, Albany, Oregon, 97321.
The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. You were born for such a time as this. Your prayers are powerful and bring God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Seers, dreamers, and discerners, arise. You are highly gifted and anointed. All warriors, arise. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. You are a force to be reckoned with.
We are living in a day where the seer anointing is so important, so vitally important, and it's a gift. It's often, like you said, overlooked. It's an overlooked gift, but God is going to bring the seers to the forefront in this day. So I'm so glad you're taking the time to train us and teach us and go into all of that. So I know you talked a little bit about your background. You started when you were 3 years old, but tell us a little bit about your testimony. You would see, like, you know, demonic figures as well, and you didn't know what some of this was, and this is a great training moment.
Yeah, so this is way back when I was three. Mm-hmm. At least it's as far back as I could remember, you know, at the age of three, when I would tell my mom things I would see. And I was thinking, everybody's seeing what I'm seeing, right?
Yeah.
This is normal.
Until I was, that?
Yeah, and then described to her what I was seeing. She's like, no, you're the only one seeing that. And then I'm like, really? And then so I didn't know what to do, how to deal with that fact that, okay, I'm the only, I felt like a freak for a long time. Mm-hmm. And to where if I would share what I'm seeing, they would think I'm weird. So I would get rejection, or, oh, here she goes, this crazy girl, like with her visions and stuff. So, and at that time, I would see things asleep and awake. So it was like there was no pause button. And so there was a lot of visual traffic going on. It was overwhelming, especially for a child, right?
Yeah.
I was often paralyzed with fear, especially in my sleep. So night paralysis came frequently, which made me scared to sleep at night. Mm. I did not want to sleep. And then so I always feared being unable to breathe and laying paralyzed. Because at that time, I didn't know about Jesus yet, you know. And then when I got saved at the age of six, I went during Sunday school, they told us about Jesus. I mean, to me, it was like the logical thing to do. If the devil is real, Jesus has to be real, right?
Yeah.
And then so, and I wanted relief from seeing all this demons and darkness and shadowy things and monster looking things. So I gave my life to Jesus. I'm just like, I want this. And then, finally something like light just came into my life, you know?
Yeah.
And so at that time, my mom would tell me, oh, there's no one in the family, not even the relatives have the same as you.
Yeah.
So I withdrew, like I became like an introvert because I felt like I can't share anything anymore. So I started drawing as a kid. I would draw what I would see and then stuff like that. And then so she would take me to some spiritist to like cast it off of me or make it stop. And they performed some ritual and made me pin on my clothes like a rolled up paper with something they wrote in it.
Yeah.
And then put it there. It's supposed to ward off the demonic spirits or something, but it didn't work because it's a gift from God, but I just didn't know how to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
And at the age of eight, I started seeing dwarves. I felt like the real Snow White, even though I wasn't white.
Dwarves. Wow.
Snow White. Yeah, I actually saw dwarves. I mean, physically, but they're probably supernatural entities, but I saw it like physical, right? Mm-hmm. And they were in my backyard as a kid at 8 years old, and they wanted to play with me. And then I said, so okay. I said, yes. At first I said, yes. And then at that time I was already saved. So, but I didn't know things yet. So we were like in a circle holding hands. But every time they touched me, I would get like a black spot on my skin. And I would feel weak each time. each time. And then Safran said, I don't want to play with you guys anymore. I didn't like the feeling being around them. And then they were mad. And so they left. And then and from that moment on, that's when I had leukemia. I felt like they put leukemia on me.
Oh my gosh.
Each time they touched me, whoa, it's like putting leukemia, cancer cells into my body. And then, because there's no one else in my family line that had ever had leukemia. And so I knew it because they knew I was a seer. The fact I could interact with them and see them, mm-hmm, oh, okay, she's a seer. Okay, let's destroy her now. Let's not, like, they could tell what I would be in the future. So they wanted to take me out then and there. And then so, make long story short, I just like, I had to go through bone marrow surgery, got that taken care of for a while. But then at the age of 16, it came back worse. But then God healed me miraculously once and for all. It was like,
man,
the big miracle in my life that completely impacted me. I felt like because of that, like what the devil meant for my harm to destroy and kill me, God turned it around for good. And now, yeah, I went all in for God. And I said, God, I'm all yours now. I'm just going to do whatever you want with my life since you gave me new life and let me live, you know?
Wow.
So that time, that see your gift, anointing, mm-hmm, I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know how to handle it. And, but I would go to church and then God, when it's a boring service, I would run to the parking lot and just have my own heavenly service with God, you know, and he'd take me to heaven and we'll have our own service there. And I would see, wow, this is much better. And so I had both God encounters and then demonic encounters still. So even, yeah, though you're saved, it did not spare me from having demonic encounters.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the package as a seer, you can't pick and choose what you want to see.
Right.
It's like you have, you see all the realms, both, yeah, the demonic and the heavenly. And so, but there's a purpose for that, you know, is to be, to intercede. So you know what you're up against. You know what you need to tackle down and break off of a city of a person. So it helps, yeah, to see what you're dealing with. Yeah.
Awesome. That's such a great testimony. And it just makes me think of, you know, we need to pay attention to our kids and what they're seeing. Yes. You know, a lot of times parents are like, oh, that's just your imagination, mm-hmm, you know, your imaginary friends or whatever, you're making that up. But no, they could have a very strong seer anointing that they need trained up in. And it takes, you know, us as parents recognizing, you know, that anointing on them and helping nurture and grow it.
And for, yeah, sure, getting filled with the Holy Spirit helped a lot for me at the age of 11. That's when I got, yeah, baptized in the Holy Spirit. That all the fear of rejection and the fear of my gift actually broke off, and boldness came on me, yeah, supernatural boldness, that there's nothing I have to be ashamed of as a seer, and that I can talk about Jesus. I can talk about whatever, you know, and, mm-hmm, so that set me free, the Holy Spirit, and it helped me actually. He was guiding me with my gift. He was, mm-hmm, guiding me and helping me through it all. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember some of the most powerful testimonies I've heard from even kids is they would be in like a healing service, and the kids would say, I see like these, it looks like black cotton balls on your lungs. Mm-hmm. And then they find out the person had cancer. And they say, I see that cotton ball, that black cotton ball disappearing now. And it was gone. And they went to the doctor and they were cancer free. I mean, come on now. Little children are doing that.
It's awesome. It's meant for all of us, young, yes, and old. If, yeah, you're a child of God, no matter how old or young you are, it's for you. Mm-hmm. The seeing gift is for you. The thing is, I want to make clear, all of God's children can access the five senses, the spiritual, yes, five senses.
Mm-hmm.
But a seer is a whole nother deal. It's more of, yes, a calling and an, mm-hmm, office of function. But as far as using the five spiritual senses, that's for all of us to be able to access and, yes, and be able to operate in those things. Totally.
Awesome. So since you went there, let's start right now with that. What is a seer? What's the difference between a seer and a prophet?
Okay. So first, what is a seer is one who is born able mm-hmm. to see in the spiritual realm, both heavenly and demonic. Mm-hmm. They're born with their eyes already open to the realm of the spirit. So it's, and they don't just see the invisible, but also they hear the inaudible, feel the intangible, smell the undetectable, and taste the different flavors in the spirit. Yes. So a seer has a keen sense of discernment. Like mm-hmm. I know for myself, I don't have to know anything about a person. I can discern something going on. Like everything in the outside looks perfect, but something in my spirit doesn't sit right with this person. Mm-hmm. So it's nothing personal against the person. It's just the Holy Spirit is telling me that person, there's something wrong with that person. Don't, you know, get involved with that person. Right. Or everybody's following this preacher now is the popular preacher. Everybody wants him and their thing. And then I listen for 2 seconds. Oh, no. Whatever supposed encounters they have, it can't be from God because I sense pride. I sense all this, how they're coming off while they're talking. I said, you can't talk like that and see heaven. I'm sorry, you can't. You can't talk like that and have an encounter with Jesus. I'm sorry. Whatever they had, it was not a real experience or is a counterfeit one because it's producing Christ-like character in that person.
Thanks for listening. The Elijah Force podcast is made possible by donations like yours. To become a partner, go to ElijahForce.com/give.
Wow. So you had tinnitus. It sounded like a bullhorn. So tell us about that day, that actual day of healing. You walked it out. How long was it before you got this and you received your healing?
Well, it wasn't like the day I got, it wasn't instantaneous. It was very gradual. And this, this will kind of meld into our conversation about rest and our health because, and this still even goes back to COVID because I mean, there's a spirit behind that. I'll just say it now.
Oh, yes. You know,
and that's why I wrote the prayer of deliverance because this wasn't just a virus. No, it is a demonic spirit that we need deliverance from. That's why I wrote that prayer. And that was one piece of my healing was recognizing I needed to, you know, renounce, you know, any association with that. And you know, just like when you realize that you've got a major sickness, you know, sometimes it's a process and you have to get the right recipe for, you know, diet, exercise, routines, all that. That's how our healing is too, because for me, it wasn't just spiritual. It was physical. It was mental because, you know, our health, the older that you get, you can't take things for granted anymore.
Right.
And you know, even the food sources, of course, all this came out, you know, once the truths were revealed or exposed about our food sources, what we've been given and the whole pharmaceutical industry. And so a lot of people in these last number of years have been learning about detoxing, literally our bodies and getting a clean diet back and really learning, getting educated as to what we've been putting into our systems. So that's what I had to do. And unfortunately, we are in a unique period of time where there's a huge transition from one system into something that God wants to take us into. And so we're all trying to find our way, you know, even in the medical field, trying to find a doctor anymore that is personal that you can go to. No, there's now practices of teams. It's a cycling, you know, it's like, who can I even trust with my healthcare anymore? You know, they're all giving, you know, different advice and they give different medicines. Yeah, it can be very stressful. And I know some of the viewers are going to, you know, say amen, because that's what they've experienced. But getting back to your question of, you know, that healing, it was gradual, but it became more and more freedom where I could, eventually tell, you know what, I'm not preoccupied with this anymore. I think it's not there anymore. I even have moments where it's absolutely silent. And so, you know, for me, it wasn't instantaneous. But it wasn't just healing of my body. It was healing my thoughts. It was a healing of my understanding of what it means to be well, and to take ownership in our well-being. And this does go into the rest message as well of what it means to be well. I mean, scripture is very clear that we're supposed to be well, spirit, soul, mind, and body. And it's and I'll just say, as spirit-filled believers, we don't always get that. We can tend, especially, this is just my observation, is those who are more prophetically inclined, it's very easy to spiritualize everything. And we forget, we have to steward the natural as well. We have to steward our thought life. We have to have a good diet. We have to take care of ourselves. And some of the problems, they can't be rebuked away. No, you got to go out and exercise. You know, you got to take care of yourself. So, you know, these are just some of the realities that we're dealing with, and that, again, helped me to understand more of who he is, even as a healer, because he wants us to be whole. We're so fixated on that. I need this part of my body healed. He's looking at the whole person. Yes. I want you to be well. I want you to live a long life. Okay. You're going to have to change some things in order to do that. So I don't know if that's helpful or not.
Oh no, that's so good. And I love that. What he shared, the word he gave you is, while you were walking through this is more about getting to know me as your healer than it is getting your healing. Whoa, that needs to be underlined a bunch of times. This is more about getting to know me as your healer than it is getting your healing. I mean, that's a powerful word from the Lord.
Well, and let me just, because this is coming to mind, I don't know if I shared this the last time, because in the most intense, one of the most intense parts of my battle, when this rang was so loud, I would have these tremendous visitations of the Lord where literally I would be on the floor. I cannot get off the floor because his presence is so strong. He's speaking to me. I mean, I can't even sense the angelic presence around me. And yet this ring is still there in my ear. It doesn't make sense, because you would think God is here. You know, the power of God is here. And yet this is still going on. This is where this contradiction, you know, you really have to wrestle with your faith. What do you really believe? And he was, through that all, it just did something to my spirit. I chose to bypass my body, what my body was telling me. And I had to just determine, body, you are not ruling my spirit. You are not telling me how to react. You're not going to tell me what to believe about my God. And so, you know, this is what he helped me to understand, to praise him, to thank him in the midst of this, and to declare that he is still good. I mean, you know, it is the story of Job, you know, in a different form, because that's what God was teaching him was, do you still believe that I am who you have said I am in the midst of all this? Am I still good? And so, you know, through it all, I never changed that. I always knew he was good. It was hard, but there was always grace. And I will say that for anyone who is going through, you know, a physical challenge, because there can be pain involved in this. There's another whole aspect of that, of I learned what suffering means. You know, charismatics, we don't have a good theology of suffering. We immediately assume it's all the devil. Are we saying that God's, you know, not big enough, or that he's not involved? No, I had to learn to grapple with that. How does this fit in with a good God that loves fully? These are lessons that I think we need to learn, because it really matures our faith. And I think it should even give some peace to people who are wondering, why am I having this kind of problem? What's wrong with me? You know, what's wrong with my faith? It's not always a matter of something's wrong with their faith. No, God is doing a deep work, and he's just, you know, inviting you, hang on, trust me. I am good. I am fully loved. I'm going to bring you out. Because he always does. And I mean, that's what I'll say. He'll bring us out.
Amen. Yes. Well, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. And even in this time of this season, this Halloween season, where so many celebrate darkness, and so many do it just, you know, innocently and even ignorantly. And so we know it's, we know that no matter what, God, you are Lord. You are the one who holds this world. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof. We thank you that even on Halloween, it is the day of the Lord. It is the day that you have made. And even in that, we'll rejoice. We'll be glad. And I just pray that in this season of time where the enemy thinks he's going to take ground, I pray there would be a response out of heaven that would even come out of the womb of your people in the earth right now. I pray that darkness would be turned back across the nation like never before. God, I pray that a revival would break out in this Halloween season, Lord. I just pray that that as people are going from door to door to get candy, instead, God, they would receive the word of God. The gospel would begin to spread. The word of the Lord would begin to spread. I pray, Father, that the goodness of God would be tasted. That you would just be discerned and recognized all over America in this present day. And so I do pray, God, that you would keep us veiled. You would keep us protected. You would keep us under the shadow of your wings so that, God, whenever the enemy seeks to take aim at us, to go after us, to bring an assignment against our lives or our families, I pray we would be kept protected and safe, that you would give your angels charge concerning us, O Lord, I pray. God, your word says that the angel of the Lord encamps around those that fear you. And we just pray, God, right now, that you would encamp around about your people, that your angels would be sent, even in this season, to bring extra protection. And God, we do pray those who are caught up in darkness and witchcraft and all of the occult realms, Lord, we pray right now that there would be an invasion of the Holy Spirit into these places. Mm-hmm. I pray that breaker angels, that winds and flames of fire would be dispatched to break through, to open up prison cells, to break chains, to get people out of the bondage of witchcraft and darkness in these days. And Lord, as watchmen, I pray as watchmen and intercessors and warriors, I just ask you, Father, to open our eyes to see, open the eyes of our heart, Lord. I pray, God, teach us how to pray in these days. Show us things in the spirit. Give us targeted prayers. Show us the realm of the spirit. Uncover areas of darkness that we might know how to pray. Show us the dimensions of glory, God. Show us those that are with us, just as the prophet prayed to have his servants' eyes open. Lord, open our eyes to see. There are more with us than there are with the enemy in them, in Jesus' name. So, Lord, thank you again. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Oh, this was so good. As you were praying, I just saw a ladder. Mm. The Lord is extending the ladder, and he's saying to his people, you know, come up here, and I will show you great and mighty things you do not know of. And then I saw a big post. It was like a guard post. Mm. And the Lord is telling his watchmen, stand your ground. Don't leave your post. Don't leave your prayer post. Stand your ground and watch and see the deliverance and the salvation of the Lord as you stand your ground. Do not leave your prayer post. Mm. We just thank you, Lord. We are standing our ground in you, knowing that there are much more for us than against us.
You know, this just came to my mind. It's like some people have been tormented, maybe in an area. Like, I don't know, like I said earlier, like the enemy was in these dreams was revealing that he was coming after weaknesses and vulnerability. Mm-hmm. I feel like God is wanting to encourage you right now to speak the truth over your life in an area that you've felt battled or weak or insecure, or maybe that has been like under repeat attack, or maybe where you've had shame. I just see God giving, just as Jesus was tempted in the wilderness and he responded with, it is written. He took scripture and used it like the sword of the spirit. I want to encourage you right now, just take up the word of God and begin to speak it over your life, and specifically over areas where you may recognize, I've got some vulnerability here. I feel weak here. I don't know who I am in this place. Just find the scriptures and the words of truth yeah. the words of life and declare them over yourself in this hour. Those are your marching orders, I feel. Some of you need to hear that. You've got marching orders today. Take up that word, begin to use it as a weapon, declare it over your life, and you're going to watch the warfare minimize more and more in those areas that you use the weapon of the word.
Awesome. Yeah. I'm just hearing again, read Psalm 91. If you get anything out of this today, read Psalm 91 and let it be a live, living word to your spirit man right now. Psalm 91. Thank you, Lord. We are living in the days of Psalm 91 like Hallelujah. We've never seen before. Thank you, Lord, for your word.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Awesome.
So you talked a little bit about, you know, the seers interacting in the spiritual realm, but I know there's more that we could cover. You know, I've noticed lately that I've been seeing seraphim, and I didn't recognize that they were seraphim at first. And I've seen them at least two plus times or more, but usually in a room, I will see like these angelic wings that look as big as like the top of a bushy tree. And I've seen them spread out. And then just recently, we had our own Elijah's Dreams event. I think it was late June. And I saw what looked like, you know, full on peacock feathers with all the eyes in them. Mm-hmm. But it was sideways. And as I saw this, healing was being released. Revelation was being released. And I realized, oh my gosh, I've seen this at least two plus times, probably more, that when I see this, it's the seraphim. And I mean, I'm just blown away that I get to see, you know, some of these heavenly creatures. And you talk about these, you've seen heavenly creatures and the hosts of heaven, angelic messengers. Tell us some of the things that seers can see in the heavenly realm.
Well, they can take us into any different realm that, you know, he has, like the seraphim, they've got two wings that cover their face, two they fly, two they cover their feet, and they're fiery beings.
Yeah.
And so, you know, God allows us to see what's in our atmosphere because we're impacted by those things. You know, God mirrors himself in and through us as we step into the realm of that spirit. And then angels are serving him and they are called to serve us. Angels are excellent dream interpreters. They carry anointings for healings and miracles. And seraphim are your fiery ones. And he said in the end time, he's going to cause us to be ministers of fire.
Yeah.
So that presence of God was there and you were seeing that fire, and firing is a purifying agent. Mm-hmm. With Isaiah, when he saw into the heavens, he saw God seated there on his throne. And it says that the seraphim came and touched his lips with the coal to purify him so he could prophesy into another level. And he received a calling, you know, with the seraphim interacting in that. So you're called to be one of God's fiery ministers, and he's given you a platform, you know, here at Elijah Force for you to be able to release that.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, I can't wait to see more. Now I'm like, alert, okay, I'm ready. I'm ready to see more seraphim and you know, the living creatures and all that. It's exciting because people think, well, I've seen angels, but there's more. There's a lot more in the heavenly realm that's available for us to see. So I've been asking for more. And do you notice, and I've shared this before, when you feel like there's an increase here, how do you know when the seer anointing is increasing for you? For example, I'll wake up and I'll see all these eyes around me and these eyes are looking straight at me. And it's like, oh, and I just know an increase is here. And honestly, now that I'm thinking about it, those could very well be the seraphim as well. The eyes in the eye.
Yeah. They, you know, he has the orophim as well. Mm-hmm. You know, that was on God, though they carry God's chariot. And when Saul was on the road to Damascus, it talked about the Merkabah chariot and the great light that came, and he was cast to the ground and his vision was taken. He was, you know, blinded. So we are told in the last days, the light of God will arise and shine, for your light has come. Everything that needs to happen has happened. And so those who are prepared, those with the clean hands and a pure heart, will see God. And seers reveal the heart of God and the intent of God, the very heartbeat and wisdom and compassion of God, because we are called to function as a bridge from anointing into anointing. But once we get past that anointing level, Julie, then we step into the glory realm, where everything is stored for us in the glory realm. It says in the Genesis, God created all things. And so answers to prayer, miracles, angelic encounters, everything that we're ever going to see, do, or know was created in the Genesis, and now it's in the realm of glory. And so he's given us the keys to the kingdom, and so we need to know how to access the keys. We need to know how to utilize the names of God. I'm writing a book on the names of God, because every name of God opens another dimension. And the angels are the one that take our prayers and they move it through the heavenly realms until they take it to Jerusalem. And from Jerusalem, it ascends up the greatest portal that is there. And I saw all that in a vision that God gave me when I was in Israel. And so God shows us things as seers. And then I'm a scribe. So he gave me a scribing angel to work with me to write down the mysteries, so that it can then get into the body of Christ, so that we can have people who understand the secrets and the mysteries that are not being hid from us, but reserved for us in different realms of heaven. So, you know, his secrets are with the seers so that they can represent his thoughts, his desires, give his warnings, and we can begin to release his teaching. I think Enoch was probably a seer because he walked with God so closely and was able to enter into the heavenly realm so often that he was totally transformed into God's image and likeness. And then God just kept him in the heavenly realms.
Wow, that's amazing. People are watching this. They're like, whoa, this stuff is deep, deep, deep. And so how can you, how would you encourage people today listening to all this in the revelatory realm and the things they can see? You talked about renewing our mind, or renewing the spirit of our mind. How can we see much more in the spirit realm?
Well, I think, you know, in Ephesians 3:10, it talks about the manifold wisdom of God that might be known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. So seers are those that help God's multifaceted wisdom and knowledge be released. And so prayer, spending time with God in the secret place where he can reveal himself. In Numbers 12, it says that God reveals himself through a vision, and he makes himself known through dreams. And so understanding your dream realm, the vision realm, God is showing who he is, and he's unveiling his face so that we can behold him in not just a mirror, but we can see him in, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord being transformed into that same image. He was the living word. Mm-hmm. We must become the living word and allow the power of God to be within us, because seers reflect divine glory so that we can see, we can perceive, we can be transformed into the likeness of Christ.
Help Elijah Force continue to reach people around the world. All donations go toward making the Elijah Force podcast possible. Visit ElijahForce.com/give and become a partner today.
I had such a passion for my homeland of Thailand, and the Lord just one day just planted it in me. It's time to go back. And, you know, this was, you know, a couple of decades ago, now almost two decades ago now. But, you know, I was born there and have a powerful testimony of our family, you know, restoration that we went through. And, you know, my mom was sold over there and we moved over here when I was a child. But the Lord said, you know, at one point he told me it's time for you to go back. You've been away from your land too long. You have an inheritance. You have a rich inheritance. You have a birthright in Thailand. So that's another way God can speak to us.
Yes.
You know, just putting that passion, that burning in our heart for what he's calling us to, because there's an inheritance there. And I know there's an inheritance in Thailand. And there have been times where the Lord, you know, he doesn't speak to me sternly very often, but you know, there have been a handful of times where he's just been really stern with me, saying the same thing. And he had said to me, don't you ever sell your birthright for a bowl of stew.
Oh, wow.
And when he says things like that, that kind of like stops you in your tracks, because, you know, there are counterfeits and knockoffs that could steer you away from your true inheritance and try to steal the inheritance that the Lord wants to give you. So he can give us warnings to stay on the straight and narrow on the path of our inheritance that's leading us to it, because the enemy will try to steal. You know, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And, you know, he'll try to steal what God has for us and ordained for us as well. And so, you know, there's, he gives us warnings, he gives us passions and all that. And, you know, of course, I was thinking when I'm listening to you, you know, the scripture, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. So there's an inheritance that doesn't just affect us. It affects, you know, next generations. And you were talking about when Bill Johnson, he said, don't leave a mess for your kids. You know, it's like, wow. You know, you want to a good man wants to leave an inheritance for his children. That made me think of that as well. And then I think of like generational curses. If we don't break those off, we already know a lot of times they get carried on to the next generation. And so you want to break off those generational curses off of you and your family line so it doesn't get passed on to the next generation. So, I mean, there's so many different ways the Lord can speak to us about inheritance. Inheritance give us warnings and things we need to break off so the next generation doesn't inherit them.
I agree. And,
anything you want to go ahead and share, anything else you want to.
And the good side to that concerning generations is, and I've thought about this a lot, if your parents and your grandparents are still alive, it would be wonderful to talk to them and find out what insights the Lord revealed to them. Because if those are things you're not walking in right now, Deuteronomy 29:29 says those things belong to you too. Whatever was revealed to your parents, to your grandparents, they belong to you too. You can walk in those as well. So that's the good side of that. Another scripture that I was going to share is Zechariah 14:17. The Lord gave me this a few years ago about worship. It says, and it shall be that whichever of the families of the earth do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, on them there shall be no rain. If your inheritance is dry and weary and you're refusing to worship, there won't be any rain. He gave me that years ago when he asked me one morning if worship was seasonal. That was the question he said, is worship seasonal? And I thought, I don't know about you, but when God asked me a question, I know immediately I don't know the right answer. So I just waited and listened. And if you don't worship, there's no rain. There's no rain on your harvest or your inheritance. And another scripture I wanted to share was Psalm 68:9. It says, you, O God, sent a plentiful rain whereby you confirmed your inheritance. That word confirmed means he established it. He secured it. He settled it. He restored it. So he has it protected. Your inheritance hasn't been given to another person. If you haven't seized it, it's still there. Yeah. It's still there waiting on you. And I don't know about you, but that excites me. I know if we water our inheritance, if we speak the word of God over it, if we are willing to go through the process of speaking inspired words, whatever God gives you. You know, I've heard different people do different things with prodigals and with harvest. They call them in. And, you know, the Bible says that we can do that, that we call those things as they already are. So God's faithful. And when I kept asking him, he kept giving me, he wasn't giving me those dreams without a purpose. And when he kept giving me the dreams about inheritance, he wanted me to find out what to do about that and how to lay hold of my inheritance. And that's what I've been doing. So we seek first the kingdom of God. We ask for wisdom. And we remember whatever is revealed to us belongs to us and our children. And then we prophesy to our inheritance because we have what we say. And then we water it with the word and with worship. And I believe if we do that, we're going to see our inheritance. And I had read a scripture in the Passion Translation, even when I was finished studying this, but it's so good. It's in Psalm 61:5. And it says, "And you have given me an inheritance of rich treasures, which you give all those who love you," all your lovers. That's who he gives them to.
Wow.
So if you're willing to spend time with God, if you're willing to love on God, and if you're willing to go after your inheritance, you will have it.
Wow.
And that's, I believe, so cool. We're in that season, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, I do. I was thinking of the scripture. I was looking it up from Psalm 2:8 as well as you're talking. And I was thinking of, it says, "Ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession." There's so many incredible scriptures about our inheritance in the Bible.
There really is. There really is. There's so, it's woven all throughout the word.
It is
all throughout the Bible. We have an inheritance. And I don't hear this taught on a whole lot.
No.
And I don't hear people saying they went after their inheritance. I don't hear that. But I believe we're in the season where he's drawing us to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Compelling us to go after our inheritance.
Jesus is described as a burning man, actually, in the Old Testament. And if you go to Daniel chapter 10, and this is during the time of the Daniel fast, when he was on his Daniel fast for 21 days. And it says on the 24th day, he, in verse 5 of chapter 10, "I lift up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen." So I call Jesus the linen man, "whose waist was girded with gold of upaz. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning." So we have all sorts of words now about fire, lightning. "His eyes are torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze and color." And I looked it up. Bronze burns at about 1700 degrees Fahrenheit.
Really?
And the sound of his words were like voice of multitude. So Jesus is the burning man, and the man Lynn is mentioned also in Daniel 12, but also in Ezekiel 9 and 10. And in chapter 10 of Ezekiel, he takes fire from around the wheels of the cherub and he throws it on the earth. So I'm wondering, especially in light of that verse, if we are moving into a time in history when Jesus is starting to do that, when he's throwing fire on the earth and perhaps some kind of new move. I've been wondering historically if there's been any evidence of this happening. And actually, for the first time, at the very end of our book tour, a young man pointed out that Blaise Pascal, who lived between 1623 and 1662, he was a mathematician and a scientist, as well as a great Christian apologist. And he wrote that in one night he burned. And he said this: "Since that night, I have a fire within me which I cannot quench. I tried knowing God through reason, but now I must share the truth and certainty that God has confirmed in my heart. I never thought a sense of peace and the passion of fire could reside in one's heart simultaneously." So here we have a scientist who realizes that he is burned for one night. Now, my experience lasted actually years of nightly burning. You mentioned the word fuego, I think, in the beginning.
Yes.
So I've been to Argentina. I was in Argentina six times. And, you know, they would often yell that fuego, 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 and the anointing would fall. But I want to tell you, what they experienced is not the fire. The anointing is not the fire. I do not believe the baptism of the Spirit is the fire. You look at the verse by Jesus, he said that, you know, or John the Baptist saying, you know, there's a baptism of the Spirit and of fire. So many of us have experienced the baptism of the Spirit, but having experienced now the baptism of fire, it is remarkably different because it actually does burn to a point that many, many nights I was in excruciating pain. It would actually scream into my pillow because of the fierceness of the fire. So, you know, you kind of said something about, I pray for the fire to be released. And I need to give a warning. This is not to be taken lightly. Mm-hmm. It actually does burn fiercely. Wow. Would you like me to share how this all started?
Yes, do.
Which I talk about in the book. So I grew up in a Christian home. I received Christ as my Savior at the age of 6. My father was a Marine. My mother was from New Zealand, where I was also born. And, you know, we had a typical life. It was not a horrible life. I never went through any horrible abuse. I was not molested. I did not go through any terrible experiences as a child, teenager, young adult. And literally grew up in the church. We were at church all the time. I got married. My parents and Donna's parents became very good friends. Our holidays were always idyllic, nothing but with the drama that you hear from so many people. And then I graduated from Pepperdine, a Christian school. And I got my master's from American Baptist Seminary of the West, and then my doctorate. And this is all to say that, you know, my life has not been a terrible life. I pray for a lot of people who just have really, really horrific stories. And so I get all the way now to May the 30th, 2020. And this is now during COVID. And remember, COVID started, I think, in March of that year.
Mm-hmm. It was early 2020, yeah.
Yeah, right. The Lord told us to have a meeting at Apple Valley, California. And I realized that I could be arrested in jail because our governor was very, very dictatorial when it came to COVID.
Oh, yes.
So we did have the meeting. It was a very small group. And a friend of mine stood in front of me and said, and she pointed at me and said, the Lord's going to clean out your DNA and RNA. Well, because of my gift of discernment, I can feel deliverance taking place. And all of a sudden, I felt a deliverance coming off me. Now, Julie, you know, we have a prayer manual of prayers, and it's now over 200 pages. I have prayed all those prayers. I've gone through a lot of deliverance and not really knowing that I really needed that much anyway. But the deliverance that I started going through was absolutely horrific. And it lasted up to 5 years, actually. It ended on my birthday in January this year. So the first couple of years were very, very intense. And it was sometimes it was like, the Lord was pulling an elephant through a straw out my head. And especially at night, sometimes it would be very, very, very intense. What I did not know until probably a couple of weeks ago is that when Michelle prayed for me on that May 30th day, she saw two Hebrew letters over my head. And the two Hebrew letters spell the word fire. So,
wow.
Fire was key to that event, though I did not feel any burning until probably around June of 2022. For the first time in my journal, I wrote that at night I was experiencing burning, and I could feel the burning increasing. And as the burning increased, then I felt the deliverance increasing off of me. And I came to understand that the Lord was burning off all kinds of things out of my generational line, my father's side and mother's side. And I actually could feel the consuming of the evil. And this actually is mentioned in Malachi chapter 3 and chapter 4. And we may talk about that in a little bit. So in August, I wrote that. And then the burning, that's when it really ratcheted up and increased. And again, that burning lasted all the way until January of this year. So between the deliverance and then the fire and the burning, it lasted from May the 30th to January the 12th of 2025.
Incredible. And you said it was painful at times. So this was all about deliverance for the generation.
Horrible. Yeah, it was horrible. It was not just painful. It was very, very horrible. And very often I would wake up, as I told you, 11:11 or sometimes midnight, and then I would burn or have deliverance from midnight to 3:30 when I'd finally go back to sleep again. And I've always been a person who needed like 9 hours of sleep. And now I'm operating on 4 or 5 hours of sleep, and I'm in this kind of dreadful pain at night. And this is very difficult because my poor wife, you know, after a while, no one wants to hear that you've been burning all night. No one wants to hear that you've been going through deliverance all night. And I can only talk to two or three very close friends, including my wife and my children, because I could not find anyone who could help me understand what was happening. Because of my discernment, I knew it was the Lord, and I never told him to stop. I sure complained a lot, though, because it was absolutely grueling and dreadful. And it was not till the very end that I understood why the Lord did that and what he was doing.
And it was all a generational deliverance and healing.
Yes. And
wow,
just think, all of us, and there's a reason for this, Julie. I pastored for 20 years. You know, I figured I've given maybe over 1,500 sermons, all sorts of talks, Bible studies. I've gone through all this and really did not understand that maybe the Christian life is not quite what we expected, that it really is not all about what we can do for the Lord, but rather what the Lord wants to do through us. But until he can do it through us, he has to clean us up. And the issue is being cleaned. And I would say probably 99% of the church does not believe this is necessary. But I am 100% convinced that it is all about the power of God flowing through us, not about what we can do, but what he wants to do through us. But he must burn up the evil and generational line so that his power can flow. You know, John the Baptist said this. He said, you know, less of me and more of him. And I 100% believe that is the key to a victorious Christian life.
Like what you're hearing? Help us continue to make the Elijah Force podcast possible. Head to ElijahForce.com/give. Now, back to the show.
So as a worship leader, you know, you disciple and you raise up the next generation of worshipers and leaders. What is your heart for raising up this next generation after everything that, you know, our nation has just gone through and the momentum we're in right now?
Absolutely. I think my dad has a really great phrase that he's using that really resonates with me right now. Mm-hmm. And it's not to put preference over progress. Mm-hmm. And I've recently been reading some books about church growth and church death. And you would be surprised how much of a role worship music plays in the growth or in the decline of churches. And a lot of times we don't want to embrace something new because it's different than what we're comfortable with. Yeah. Well, my parents did it this way, or well, the church that I was raised in did it that way. And the Bible says, behold, all things are passed away and all things are made new. And I believe that God, while he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, he uses different tools, right, for different purposes. And I believe worship music is a wonderful tool. It is on the rise. It's powerful what some of these churches and different groups are turning out. So I don't want us to discount the progress that the church is making because it may not be our preference. For the young people, mm-hmm. what I want to say is to stay engaged, ask questions, mm-hmm. ask questions. You know, if you don't know, ask something and let us speak into your life and let's have more conversation. Let's study the word together and see what God is saying to us. Let's pray together because I don't think it has to be old or new. In my worship sets, I try to pull yeah. some from the old and then some from the new to give everyone in our congregation a place to worship within my worship set. But to the old, I would say, embrace what's coming. And to the young, I would say, embrace what's been so that we can find middle ground and be unified together for the gospel of Christ.
Oh, that's so good. That just summed it all up right there. And I love this last statement from you, and you can talk into it. Keep singing, keep worshiping, and let God use your song to bring healing to our world. I love that statement. Tell us about that.
Yeah, thank you. I the Bible talks about that Satan has come to wear out the saints. Mm-hmm. He's come with great wrath because he knows he hath but a short time. And there are different situations that can make us feel weary mm-hmm. from personal situations with family, job loss, health issues that takes the fight out of us. But even larger issues like all of the division we see in our nation, wars happening globally, the Charlie Kirk assassination for sure, mm-hmm. that we can throw up our hands and say, my voice doesn't matter or I give up. It's just too hard. And the answer is no. Keep singing because it's the praise that goes before the battle that changes the yes. atmosphere. Keep worshiping because worship is what changes things, you know, to continue to persist, to carry on because God is using us right now to bring about his purpose in the earth. Our song, the song of the Lord, you find the song of Moses all the way in Exodus and then all the way the same song of Moses in the book of Revelation. It's the song that the angels cry out, holy, holy, and all of the songs in Revelation. God uses songs to bring about his purpose. So keep singing, keep worshiping, because it's our song that's going to bring about the change. We have mm-hmm. to remember that we are one body called with one purpose, which is to bring the gospel to the world.
Yes. Oh, that's so, so good. And speaking about being one, you wrote a brand new worship song and made a video, and I'd love for us to play that. Give us, you know, the journey behind that and how you wrote this song and why you wrote this song, and then we can play it.
Absolutely. I have my grandmother's piano in our home. She's gone on to be with the Lord, and mm-hmm. it's the piano where her and my grandfather wrote many, many gospel songs. And the day that Charlie Kirk was assassinated, I felt like the rest of the world. I felt just completely gutted and devastated. Yes. I was an avid follower and mm-hmm. A great proponent of his. And I was sad. And yeah. so I sat down at the piano and I thought, Lord, what is my prayer? And I believe it's John 17 that Jesus said, make them one as you are in me and I am in you. And I believe that that's Jesus's prayer, and it should be our prayer mm-hmm. that we would be one, that God would break down the walls of denominations and all of these presuppositions that we have about whole groups of people, where we lump whole groups to say, you're this and you're that, when God mm-hmm. is saying, no, we are one. And when we are united, then we can stand together. I think it was in Luke yesterday, I was reading about the house divided can't stand. Yeah. You remember Jesus talking about that? Mm-hmm. So I just began to write a prayer that said, make us one, you know, and tear down the walls again where we're all serving God in unity and let Jesus lead the way. And so that's the song.
Awesome. So good. All right. Without further ado, let's go ahead and play Jasmine's video, Make Us One.
You're the answer. the only one who can put us back together and hold us in your hand. Divided we fall, united we stand. Let this be the turning point. Come and heal our land and make us one. Make us one again. Heal our hearts and heal the brokenness within. Make us one. Make us one again. Oh, how we need your mercy and your love to make us one. How do we come together when all our swords are drawn? Everyone is so convinced the other side is wrong. It's time to tear the walls down that have kept us apart. This world, it may seem dark now, but I'm looking toward the dawn. Make us one. Make us one again. Heal our
been Elijah Force. Thanks for listening. For more episodes like this, you can listen to the Elijah Force podcast on Apple and Spotify. Join us every Monday and Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific time on Rumble and Facebook. Elijah Force is part of Elijahless Ministries. Go to ElijahForce.com/give to become a partner today. Did you receive a breakthrough from today's show? Please let us know at connect@ElijahForce.com. Never forget that you are a force to be reckoned with.